A very good evening to you. Welcome along to another Sweet and Swing here on Manx Radio. My name's Howard Kane. As always, a pleasure to have your company. What have we got? What about a bit of Bob Crosby and the Bobcats? Earl Father Hines, perhaps with a bit of Louis. Some new one from our friends at Avid with Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five. But to get going, let's go riffing with the Ritz. Great way to get going, isn't it? Riffing at the Ritz. Wouldn't mind doing that myself. Been for tea there, but never actually gone riffing at the Ritz. Oh, and lunch one time as well. Very nice, if quite heavy on the wallet. But it was a very good meal. Benny Goodman and his orchestra, of course, to get us going this evening. How are we all? I trust we're surviving and hoping that spring is almost here. You know the way it is in the Isle of Man, don't you? Just as you think spring is around the corner, and then spring has sprung, and then it springs back again and goes back to winter again, and then sometimes it does that another couple of times, so that one weekend you're out in the garden in your shorts having a barbecue, and the next weekend you've got your balaclava on and brushing snow off the car, and then the next year, and so on it goes. So I have had the first barbecue of the season, quite delighted, some good friends and family over, and we're outside, we ate outside, I cooked outside before the end of March, and it's one of those little things I rather like to do when you're living in this part of the world, and particularly on the Isle of Man, and particularly in a fairly windy exposed spot on the Isle of Man, namely Croncavoddy, the centre of the universe, of course, cultural and otherwise. It's a challenge. It's always a challenge every year. Can you have your first barbie of the season? Sometimes it's the last barbie of the season before the end of March. Haven't done it for a few years, so delighted to have managed it this year. We did have to go in the end for coffee because it was just too cold, but nonetheless, it was rather nice when we sat outside and had the the beef, I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah, beef and salad and such like. Very nice indeed. Have you had your first barbie? Well, who knows? You might be somewhere warm and barbie every day. That would be nice, wouldn't it? We've got, some interesting ones. Friends at Avid sent us a new collection, or a new selection, I suppose, of Louis Jordan's music quite recently. So we'll be dipping into that, I think, today and over the next few weeks. Do like Louis, always puts a smile on my face. And a bit of Shearing also in the pile this evening to look forward to. But for now, we'll stay with some of the American bigger bands. And this guy I've always really liked. Quite a character. Love to have seen this man live, because he just looks like he would have been a great entertainer as well as great music. Good voice as well, as you'll hear in a moment.
Gang, it looks like we've picked out the wrong spot this evening, don't it, huh? You know, this sweet music's all right, but we always been a bunch that go in for plenty of pep and excitement. I know where to go. Let's get our coats and hats and get out this joint, huh? Come on then, let's go from here, where we can have some fun, I mean. Shadows are creeping, the stars go peeping to the rhythm of the band. Boy, downtown's uptown, shaking that African. It's a brand new movement, but boy, what an improvement. You know, the gang goes loco, doing that African. Them corner tricks and red hot licks, and they mow you down. And if you want a treat to low-down beat, boy, come on uptown. Better than a black bottom, it's really in there. We started up here, too. Oh, shaking an African. Tell you, boy, this is the biggest craze in New York City. And if you don't learn this dance, oh, what a pity, a pity.
There you go. I rest my case, as they say. Great fun. Great sort of voice for the era, Don Redman in the 1930s there, with Shaking That African. which I assume is reference to a dance in there, probably the sort of dance craze at the time. And yeah, the song released by Don Redman in the late 20s was also associated with Willie Dixon in later years. And it was a sort of a bit of a dance craze, I think. A high energy, as you can gather, dance popular in New York City. And yeah, shaking that thing, and just looking at a quick Google round to sort of see there's much on it, and says, well, it's often synonymous with 1920s slang phrases, shaking that thing. Yeah, make up your mind what that means. Which basically referred to dancing, moving around, having a good time. Which he was definitely doing there, Don Redman and his orchestra. And Redman himself hailed from West Virginia. Dad was a music teacher, Mum was a singer, so he came from a great musical background. Began playing the trumpet when he was just three. Can you play the trumpet when you're three? Would you get an embouchure? I don't know, I wouldn't, I don't think, but obviously he was much better than I was. And then joined his first band at the age of, wait for it, six. Six? It was the Kansas City Toddlers or something. Or maybe the, West Virginia Toddlers. And by the age of 12... it's reported he was proficient on all wind instruments, ranging from the trumpet to the oboe, as well as the piano. You see, I'm going off him now. I mean, that's just too clever by half, isn't it? Then he went on to study at Storer College in Harper's Ferry and the Boston Conservatory, and joined Billy Page's Broadway Syncopators in New York City. And it's something in the genes, is what I would say. Clearly, he was a super talented musician. And it runs down the line, because if you like a bit of your modern jazz, as well as sweet and swing and the great stuff from the 20s and 30s and the big band and swing era, and whilst I'm here, don't forget, of course, next week, jumping in with Brother Chris, dip a toe in, you never know, because I'm just going to give you that lineage, because here we are listening to Don Redman on Sweet and Swing, wonderful stuff, great musician, as you've heard, from a great musical heritage, and that it goes back, his parents as well, both very musical, at least John himself was uncle to Dewey Redman. Dewey Redman, massive figure in modern jazz and the emergence of modern and sort of free jazz in the 50s and 60s, and used to play with the likes of Ornette Coleman, and then in his own right, and with Charlie Hayden and Don Cherry and goodness knows who. I saw him several times and did have the great pleasure of interviewing him once. And to my great shame, I was a little bit the worse the wear for too many glasses of red wine. Never lived it down. I had to cut out in the interview all my questions and revoice them because I sounded a bit slurred. But he was very polite and answered them patiently, it had to be said. But that's another story. But yeah, Dewey Redman, no longer with us, of course. But of course, Dewey Redman had a son, Joshua Redman, who is going strong and still very much an A-lister on the modern jazz front now. So that's what, one, two, three, four generations already. As in much as Don's parents, Don, Dewey, and then down to Joshua. So Don Redman would have been Dewey's great uncle. No, start that again. Don Redman would have been Joshua's great uncle. Not bad, though. I just love those sort of links. And you think it's sort of passed down the line, this love of music and clearly skill with music as well. On we go this evening, and a bit of Geraldo from the album Blues in the Night. And well, shaking the Afrikaans, he might have thought it was a laughing matter. Dorothy Carlos doesn't agree. This is no laughing matter.
Time for pretty patter while you break my heart. What of all the moon dreams shared together beside the garden wall? Love can't always have that perfect weather. A little rain must fall. So think of the dreams you'll shatter if you should say we're through. This is no laughing matter, darling. I'm in love with you. Thank you.
terrific, the wonderful light sound of George Shearing at the piano. Never tire of George's playing. And just, I don't know, an amazing... Oh yeah, I was going to say he sailed under the radar, but he was actually terrifically popular in his time. And again, you just think when he was blind from birth, you think, wow, I wouldn't be able to play like that in a month of Sundays with two good eyes, but incredible stuff. The song, of course, This Can't Be Love, Richard Rodgers, Lorenz Hart. Recorded 1979 by those sessions by Hans-Georg Brunner in Germany. And quite a few albums came out of that. Some marvellous recording as well, as you heard there, beautifully recorded. George himself on piano, Louis Stewart taking that wonderful guitar solo, and the sadly missed Niels Henning Ørsted Pedersen on bass, taken from us far too young. You might remember back in the day, not only did he play with George, he went on to play with Oscar Peterson for a long time. And Oscar had his own TV series on BBC Two, if you remember that, back in, what, the 80s, would it be? Where he would introduce, he'd play, and then he'd talk about music, and he'd introduce guests, the likes of Ella Fitzgerald and Joe Pass and such like, and they'd guest together and they'd gig together. Some wonderful ones. Great one on YouTube I was watching recently with him talking to Count Basie. Then doing some solo work and some duets, and oh, wonderful stuff. And yes, his trio at the time, terrific. I used to love it with Niels Henning, with Oscar, Niels Henning on bass, and again the sadly missed Martin Droob, great British London-based drummer as well. Did meet Martin. I did see Niels one time, never spoke to him. Did meet Martin Droob once or twice and had a few words. And did see Oscar twice, but never actually got to speak to him. But the old maestro did, interviewed him many moons ago now. And it was, of course, broadcast here on Manx Radio. George headed out to the States, where he spent the rest of his life. He went there in about 1946, I think it was, after starting out in London, stayed there and recording for the next 50 years, but travelling round, touring widely, recording in German, as we heard there, in the 1970s. Taking his model from Teddy Wilson, amongst others, and also contemporaries like Errol Garner, and had that lovely keyboard style, as I say, never flaunted his technique, although it was absolutely there, and never sort of over the top. He just had his trademarks, those lovely single flowing one-note lines, and then those chiming block chords, which became known as the locked hands technique. And he hadn't originated that, I don't think he claimed to. He had borrowed it from the organist, Milt Buckner, but it made him just more approachable in a way, and again, a lot of people then copied that style with the locked hands and the single style. Great stuff, great stuff. Before that, well, we had Geraldo, of course, with Dorothy Carlos. This is no laughing matter, being in love. No, it never is, isn't it? It's always, can be lovely and can be painful, depending on how you look at it. And Geraldo, or to give him his real name, slightly less exotic sounding, Gerald Bright, became one of the great swing band leaders of the 30s and 40s. He was born in London as well, and classically trained. He actually studied at the Royal Academy. And then his first real appearances were in the 1920s, when he formed the, not that well known now, St. Anne's-on-the-Sea Hotel Majestic Orchestra. Good luck if you've got many of their recordings. And this gig lasted for a few years before the Savoy hired him. And then he decided to sort of, there was a bit of marketing in Latin, so he added a bit of Latin to the sound, a bit of Latin to his name, and instead of being Gerald Bright, became Geraldo, and of course the Gaucho Tango Orchestra. Got a Royal Command performance in 1933, and was then known as the Tango King of England. Not bad for someone born in Gretna, Bethnal Green or something like that, I think he was born, wasn't he? and then just had a wonderful reputation then, even though he was, I think, a bit of a gambler, old Geraldo, if memory serves correct, or was that Ambrose? One of the two was a compulsive gambler. Maybe I'm besmirching him. Perhaps that was Ambrose. I'll have to look it up again. But he attracted some of the greats, as we heard. Well, Dorothy Carlos singing with him there, Al Boley, Beryl Davis, of course. And then after the war, he became involved booking bands, chiefly for the transatlantic liners on the P&O line. A young Ronnie Scott took advantage of this free trip to New York, and a lot of the musicians would play, earn their crust on the liner, and then, of course, they'd end up and maybe have a turnaround in New York and have a day or two to go and see the greats in the States playing there, some of whom the black guys wouldn't be able to play probably in Britain at the time due to the musician union rules. Wonderful stuff. And I think Stan Tracy was part of what became known as Geraldo's Navy. some of the greats. I was playing a bit of Stan Tracy last night, actually, and thinking again what a wonderful pianist he was. Some of his solo work, duo with Roy Babington, and then some of the big orchestra. Wonderful. Doesn't quite fit into Sweet and Swing, but not far off in places. Check it out if you've never checked out some of Stan Tracy's orchestral works. Genesis is an absolutely wonderful one, or indeed, We Still Love You Madly, his tribute to his great hero, Duke Ellington. Right then, here we go. All aboard. I don't think you're going to need me to tell you where this train's going.
It's my day. Bend an ear and listen to my version
of a really solid Tennessee excursion.
Pardon me, boy, is that the Chattanooga juju?
Yes, yes, track 29.
Boy, you can give me a shine.
Can you afford to board Chattanooga choo-choo?
I got my fare
and just a trifle to spare.
You leave the Pennsylvania station about a quarter to four. Read a magazine and then you're in Baltimore.
Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer
than to have your ham and eggs in Carolina.
When you hear the whistle blowing eight to the bar, then you know that Tennessee is not very far.
Shamalala calling, gotta keep it rolling.
Ooh, ooh, Chattanooga, there you are.
There's gonna be a certain party at the station.
Satin and lace.
I used to call Funny Face. She's gonna cry until I tell her that I'll never roam.
So Chattanooga choo-choo,
won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga, Chattanooga,
get aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga,
all aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga, Chattanooga choo-choo,
won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga choo-choo.
Chattanooga Choo Choo, of course. I told you you'd know where it was going. Glenn Miller, Tex Beneker, and the Modernaires. And oh, hang on, there's another train coming now.
Thank you.
woo-wah, woo-wah. I love that ending there. Well, I told you there's another train. You get what's like buses, isn't it? Nothing for hours, and then two of them come in rapid succession. Chattanooga, and then the next minute you're taking the A train, which would be the train, of course, which will take you to Harlem. Would you like to hop off there? I still haven't been to Harlem. Been to New York several times and round the Village and Manhattan and into some of the great jazz clubs, Blue Note and the Village Vanguard. Sweet Basil, I think, had gone, but certainly been to Birdland. Another wonderful one, if you're ever in there, in Greenwich Village again, called Zinc, which I highly recommend, which is a wonderful old-world 1930s-style bar when you go in, but has sort of more modern music. Well, all sorts of music there, but great feel of the 1930s, a period piece. Very friendly and not too expensive as well. Thoroughly enjoyed there. If you ever find yourself at a loose end in New York and in need of a bit of jazz, and who wouldn't? But yeah, just a wonderful place to visit. But Harlem, I've got a friend who's a Manx friend who's been stateside for a long time, and he said, we should go to Harlem. I used to hang out a bit there, and you'd really enjoy it. And I can't remember a name now, but there's a sort of like a private little place somewhere in Harlem where you go, and it's you only those who know, if you know what I mean. And there's this lady who holds these little concerts basically in her flat in the middle of Harlem. And you have to sort of queue up and get in. There's about 20 people there, and then a few people play. And I think it's just one of those big, great classic jazz experiences, which I must do one day, if I can, get Keith around there. Who knows? Might get round to it at one stage. You are, of course, listening to Sweet and Swing with myself, H. Lovely to have you on board as ever. I hope you're enjoying the music. If you've got anything you'd like to hear or any thoughts, then drop me a line whenever you like. Howard Kane, C-A-I-N-E, at manxradio.com. Howard Kane at manxradio.com. Love to hear from you. And like I said, if you've got any thoughts, you'd like to hear something you haven't heard for a long time, or another idea of feature, or a band you'd like featured, or just let us know what you're enjoying and where you're listening from. The old faraway club, if you're listening outside of the Isle of Man, maybe somewhere in the UK, and again, maybe by the wonders of the web and listening to the podcast, you could be anywhere. Germany, Finland, Switzerland, America, Africa, Australia, Antarctica, who knows? And if you're in one of those great spots, or even more exotic, let me know, Howard Kane at manxradio.com. That's probably the easiest way. If you're closer to home, can afford the stamp, and like writing, then you can do the old style. Letter, postcard, whatever you fancy, fag packet. You will need the stamp, which costs £38 now. But it's Howard Kane, Sweet and Swing, Manx Radio, Broadcasting House, Douglas Head, Douglas, who'd have guessed, Isle of Man, that's the important part, as is the postcode IM for Mike, M15B for Bravo, W for Whiskey. Love to hear from you, whichever way you do it. Louis Jordan, like I said, I've always liked Louis' stuff, and a week or two back, my friends at Avid, who are always doing these wonderful classic collections of albums, sent me this one, Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five. Five, count them, five classic albums on two CDs. So I thought we've got to dip into this over the next few weeks and start with an absolute classic. And an a track when I used to sing it, my great friend Martin Quayle, super musical and fellow shanty man in Mines of Shanty. And he didn't believe this was a proper song when I started singing Five Guys Named Mo. I said, geez, it is Big Mo, Little Mo, you're making it up. No, I'm not. And then I think he saw the show and heard it and said, oh, yeah, and became quite a fan then. So here it is. It is real Martin, and it's great fun. Louis Jordan, the Timpani Five, Five Guys Named Mo.
I want to tell you a story from way back. Truck on down and dig me, Jack. There's Big Mo. Little Mo. Four-eyed Mo, no Mo. Look at brother, look at brother, look at brother, eat Mo. Mo, 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 Mo. Who's the greatest band around? Makes the cats jump up and down. Who's the talk of Rhythm Town? Five guys named Mo. When they start to beat it out, everybody jump and shout. Tell me, who do the critics rave about? Five guys named Mo. They came out of nowhere, and that don't mean a thing. They're rated high, and you'll know why when you hear them swing. Highbrow, lowbrow, all agree, they're the best in harmony. I'm telling you, folks, you really ought to see Five Guys Named Mo. Ha ha ha!
one guy, Big Mo. Two guys, Little Bitty Mo. Three guys, Four-Eyed Mo. Four guys, No Mo. Five guys, Eat Mo. Five little guys named Mo.
It might be possible not to like Louis Jordan, but I find it difficult. I mean, what's not to like? It's fun, it's rhythmical, it puts a smile on your face, it gets your feet going, and, well, yeah, just love it. And so many of those. So we'll be dipping in and out of this collection over the next few weeks. Louis, bandleader, singer, instrumentalist, arranger, songwriter, radio, movie, recording star, great personality, can shout the blues with the best of them or deliver a ballad straight from the heart. And yeah, he certainly knew. He knew how to play an audience, it has to be said. And there are great albums here. Louis and his Timpani Five, the Let the Good Times Roll, Go Blow Your Horn, Somebody Up There Digs Me, We're Wailing. And, well, for every tune you know, there's half a dozen you don't know. So I think everyone's heard of Five Guys Named Mo, or Choo Choo Chaboogie, or Ain't Nobody Here But His Chickens. But the Saturday Night Fish Fire, of course. But then things like School Days, or Buzz Me, or Caledonia, or Put Some Money in the Pot, or Times Are Passing, or Whiskey Do Your Stuff. So we'll play some of the less familiar ones as well as we dip in and out over the next few weeks. And thanks to our friends at Avid, as always, for their selection and sending stuff in our direction. Always very grateful. Better get move on. I promised you some Earl Hines and a bit of Bob Crosby and his Bobcats. We'll do Earl first. Some great original recordings from 28 to 41. And if for no other reason other than the title, I thought I'd play this one. It's a great tune in any case, and anything with Earls, it's not going to, you're going to go wrong. Such a fantastic player, and again, father of so many of the sort of piano stars which followed. And this, I assume, is written, or he's given it the title, straight from the heart. Child of a Disordered Brain. Thank you.
was a lover and his lass, with a hay and a hoe and a hay nonny no, that all the green corn fields did pass in the springtime, the springtime. The only pretty ring time, when birds do sing, hey ding a ding ding, sweet lovers love the spring. Between the acres of the rye, with the hay and oh and a hay nonny no, these pretty country folks would lie.
In the springtime, the only pretty ring time, when birds do sing, hey ding a ding ding, sweet lovers love the spring.
This carol they began the hour, with a hey and a ho and a hey nonny no, how that a life was but a flower.
In the springtime, the only pretty ring time, when birds do sing, hey ding a ding ding, ding a ding a ding a, sweet lovers love the spring.
And therefore take the present time, with a hey and a ho and a hey nonny no, for love is crowned with the prize.
Springtime, whoa, springtime, the only pretty ring time, when birds do sing, hey, hey, a-ding-a-ding-a, a-ding-a-ding-ding.
Oh, sweet lovers love the spring.
Sweet lovers love the spring.
Lovely. The voice, well, unmistakable, you'd have to say, wasn't it? It was a lover and his lass. Al Bowley, of course, instantly identifiable. One of those few that anyone, even me, and I do mean that, you only have to hear a few words and you know it's Al Bowley. The rest of the musicians, well, you'll do well then. You get an extra point if you can identify there. He was singing with the Henderson Twins. With that lovely sort of high-pitched, almost naive sort of sounding voices as well. And the band, well, Ken Snakehips Johnson and his West Indian Orchestra. And, sad report, beautiful music. And, of course, sadly, both Ken and Al didn't live to see the end of the war. Recorded that in April of 1940. And I'm afraid by the time peacetime came out in 1945, neither of them were around to celebrate. At least we can celebrate the wonderful music they left behind us and no doubt inspired some people to carry on going through those darkest years. And before that, the great piece, which starts off quite free, and you can see why he called it Child of a Disordered Brain, Earl Hines. Mixing it up there, because it starts off really sounding free, then goes into a sort of stride boogie-type pattern, and then ends up again slightly freer. Wonderful, Earl Hines. So modern-sounding, even now I think it's terrific from his day. Terrific indeed, and well, terrific to finish off as well. Bob Crosby from the 1939 Camel Caravan shows with his Bobcats. And this is Sweet Lorraine. Thank you. Live, as you might well gather there, terrific stuff from 1939, the Camel Caravan shows. Yes, and that is Camel cigarettes. Don't smoke, children. It's not good for your health. But back in the day, well, yeah. I was looking at, there's a great picture of them in the centrefold of this CD where they're, it's the whole load of them there. But actually, I was going to say, they're all, you know, a lot of them would be smoking. You know, amazingly, not one of them's got a cigarette in their hands. That's something of the 1930s. They're all in matching white sneakers, it looks like, or shoes of some kind, and then white jackets, and looking very smart indeed, and posing on, could be a Jaguar or something along those lines, a very posh looking open topped car in any case, but I imagine it's a stateside. But yeah, great stuff. Sweet Lorraine and Bob Crosby and the Bobcats, well, wonderful in the times. Many in the cooperative paid their dues with Ben Pollock, of course, trumpeter to Yank Lawson, who was a disciple of Louis Armstrong, Matty Matlock, the clarinetist, Gil Rudden, the saxophonist. And the band supposedly didn't like Dixieland. Bob Haggart and Matlock scored the trombone parts in tailgate fashion, giving the band a looser sound. And all the music on this one, on this collection, the CD, is from their Camel Cigarette broadcasts, which, as it's noted here by Jim Godbolt, who used to write for the Ronnie Scott's magazine, sounds freer in some respects and more constrained in others than their studio recordings, but revealing them as undisputed keepers of the flame of Dixie before revivalism became a fashion. Well, yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that. Great stuff in any case. That's more or less it, though. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, jumping in next week with Brother Chris. Check it out if you like. If not, I'll see you next time. Look after yourselves. Bye-bye.